Devil by C.L. Werner. Performed by Joe Absalom, Gareth Armstrong, Michael Fenner, and Luke Thompson. Directed by Samuel Gunn. Produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. The crump of artillery, the shriek of rockets, and the murderous rattle of heavy stun guns melded into a single thunder of violence as the enemy assaulted our position. The treads and tires of the advancing orcs ripped at the dunes as they howled across the desert. Against the onslaught of the orcs, the 400 men of the 267th Cadian Infantry Regiment retaliated with everything we had. Crack missiles slammed into the carriages of vicious war tracks, tossing them through the air in burning twists of wreckage. Plasma guns blazed into the ugly hulls of battle wagons, slicing through the crude armor plating to vaporize the mobs of brutish aliens packed onto their decks. The sharp snap of las guns rang from every corner of our position as we tried to blunt the rush of alien infantry swarming behind their vulgar machines. Then, from the left flank, what I had dreaded most came to pass.
They're through! They're out of the sand!
The cries echoed across the regimental box. The howls and roars of the orcs as they came lunging up onto the plateau added a still more bestial and savage tonality to the violence.
Fall back to the bunkers!
A dark pall had spread across the battlefield, an atmospheric blemish that seemed to spread with cancerous rapacity. I knew that phenomenon, as did every man in my command. The cry went up.
Cinderfall!
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 Men began to race for their bunkers, seeking the protection of those thick titanium walls against the malignant desert storm that was about to engulf the plateau. The rearguard held their ground, appreciating that they were dooming themselves to inescapable death, but refusing to risk the lives of their comrades by disengaging from the advancing orcs.
Captain Draken, you need to get to the bunker.
Sergeant Vane, my adjutant, spoke as I lingered to watch the rearguard defend their line. Firmly, Vane turned me about and hurried me to the bunker.
Sir, the Cinderfall is liable to hit us any second.
Corporal Huller, my Vox specialist, gave his report as I dashed inside. Vane dragged the heavy door shut with the help of two guards. As the portal slammed into place, it sent a dull boom through the bunker. I couldn't shake the eerie sensation of being walled up inside my own tomb.
These walls will resist the storm. The Adeptus Mechanicus has tested these alloys against just such conditions.
Outside, the sounds of guns and artillery were becoming muted, drowned out by the loud, elemental roar of the storm. Faintly, the howls of orcs could still be heard. After a moment, the alien voices rose in grunts of pain and terror. The Cinderfall had struck in earnest now, and the Greenskins were discovering that their greatest obstacle in conquering the planet Zanzu wasn't the Imperial Guard, but the ghastliness of the world itself.
The storm will finish them.
Vane looked anxiously at the walls of the bunker as Huller spoke, listening to the raging tempest outside.
Let's just pray it doesn't finish us too.
It was two solar cycles before the toxicity levels outside the bunker were reduced enough that we could dig ourselves out. The heavy titanium roof hatch was our only means of egress. The shifting sand had all but entombed the rest of the bunker. Sergeant Vane wrenched the portal open by force, and I followed him up into the orange glow of Sanzu's daylight. Axis Vane was a burly, grox-necked brute of a man, a veteran with more than 30 years in the 267th. The claw of some tyrannid beast on Iolus 9 had torn away most of his right shoulder, and the augmetic replacement sometimes pained him if he put too much strain upon it. I was quite indebted to Vane. The claw that had ripped his shoulder could just as easily have taken my head. The sight that greeted our eyes was as bleak and desolate as anything I'd ever seen. The long line of bunkers and tank emplacements was virtually obliterated, buried beneath tons of sand and dust. Here and there a roof hatch disturbed the dunes. Otherwise, there was no trace of our fortifications. Of the orcs and their titanic armada of beasts and machines, only the corroded bulks of a few of their biggest constructions remained, reduced to little more than shapeless mounds of pitted metal by the Cinderfall's caustic wind. On Samzu, a world scarred by centuries of mineral exploration, its soil diseased and polluted by industrial runoff, the deserts of the Blight were especially feared. Great storms periodically raged across the trackless waste, composed not of dirt and sand, but toxic grains of pollution. Centuries of these storms had obliterated entire hive cities. Only a few hours had served to wipe out nearly every sign of the battle that had been fought here.
Samzu's biggest graveyard.
Vane scowled across the sand dunes that now covered the entire plateau.
The orcs didn't get past this point. The dead can rest, knowing their sacrifice wasn't futile. It's by the grace of the Emperor that the Cinderfall came when it did.
I turned to the soldiers climbing out from the cramped confinement below to join us on the roof. My gaze settled on the Vox operator.
Corporal Huller, have you been able to raise anybody?
There's been no response to my hails. The metallic sediment stirred up by the Cinderfall will make it hard to transmit any distance.
Get back below and keep trying, Corporal. I want to know if we still have men out there.
Vane waved his hand at the nearest bunker.
If we do, they aren't in there, sir. Look at the sand spilling down into that hole. When these storms hit, the dust settles into the low spots. Any bunker the orcs manage to crack open won't have anything inside that's still alive.
Guardsman Weir!
I called to the trooper who had been entrusted with stewardship of the regimental maps. The soldier hurried forward and handed the sealed canister to me. Unscrewing the top, I removed each map and made a careful study of them. I could feel the eyes of my men on me, expectant, wondering if it was hope or doom that was written on those documents. I raised my voice so that all of my men could hear me.
We can't stay here!
I gestured to the almost buried roof upon which we stood.
One more storm, and we'll be buried so deep a Titan couldn't dig us out. Without reliable communication to headquarters, waiting here to be lifted out isn't an option either.
What are your orders, Captain?
We do what the men of the Imperial Guard have done since the God Emperor walked among mortals. We march. If we strike out to the east, we should come upon a mineral outpost within 8 solar cycles. I want this fortification stripped of ration packs, water flasks, and as much man-portable ordnance as we can carry.
Ordnance, sir?
Vane snorted at Weir's question with a derisive laugh.
You want to trust that the Cinderfall buried all the orcs? Because I don't. Anything that made it through the storm is probably armored like the engine core of a battle barge. So get those crack mines in the substores. We'll establish a rotation on who gets to lug them around, but I don't want a single one left behind.
He cast his fierce gaze across the troopers.
Get moving, you dogs!
One bark from the sergeant had the men clambering back down into the bunker. Weir stepped forward to recover the map canister.
I'll keep these. You'll have enough to carry.
Yes, sir.
He snapped a salute and hurried down into the bunker.
It'll take more than a dust storm to make them forget their discipline.
I stared out towards the eastward horizon. Even with magnoculars, I could see nothing but the shifting dunes of the Blight.
That's good. Because a lot more is going to be asked of them. The desert has no mercy in it. It will forgive no mistake. It will punish every error.
There were 38 of us when we set out. The staff within my command bunker and a group of survivors who emerged from one of the frontline bunkers. 38 men. All that was left of a company of 400.
You live by the mercy of the God Emperor.
Sergeant Vane was motivating the troops.
Do not forget that. He has spared you for some purpose, and by all the Primarchs, I will see that you fulfill that purpose. Now march, you dogs!
March we did, over the bleak wastes of the Blight. Across shapeless dunes of shifting sand, meter by meter we marched. Sand filled our boots and slithered into our clothes and hair. The rebreathers we wore to filter out the carcinogens of Sanzu's smog became foul with dust, requiring frequent purification with our precious, dwindling supply of water. We marched in 3-hour stretches, trying to keep to the tops of the dunes so that we could be afforded the best possible view of the terrain ahead. The polluted atmosphere with its traces of oxidized metal made any navigation impossible. The only dependable reference was the vicious sun itself. Keeping dawn before us and dusk behind us was our only guide through the desert. 3 days we marched through the desolate monotony of the dunes. The men were holding up as well as could be expected, but the question of water was becoming one that couldn't be ignored. Worse, our progress had been impaired by frequent earth tremors. The dunes we marched upon would crumble beneath our feet as the seismic spasms rumbled through them. On the 4th day, an especially violent quake set the dunes to shifting. In the midst of the rumble, a terrific shriek tore at us. Stumbling to my feet, I could see a guardsman named Geiner being sucked down into the sand. Try as he might, he couldn't pull himself free from the sucking pit that had opened beneath him.
Geiner!
Vane caught Weir before he could make the mistake of falling into the pit himself.
Don't be stupid! Use your rope!
He reached to Weir's belt and removed the coil of rope the soldier carried. Oh. Keeping to the semi-stability of the dune, Vane threw the coil of rope down to Geiner. The trapped guardsman missed the sergeant's first cast, but on his second throw, his hand caught about the rope. At that point, Geiner's screams became shrill and ghastly. Instead of pulling himself up the line, he simply flailed about, his hands slapping at the sand.
Drag him out! Geiner! Try to get that rope around yourself!
His face contorted in unspeakable agony, Geiner managed to get the rope tied about his chest. It was a tribute to his training, to his fidelity to discipline, that he didn't scream again until the rope drew tight. When he did, bloody flecks accompanied that scream, dotting the sand.
Help me pull him out!
Half a dozen troopers rushed to catch hold of the line and render him aid. Geiner's screams grew more intense as he was slowly drawn from the sand. As his torso started to pull clear, bloody splotches appeared on his kit. Huller gasped.
Emperor's mercy!
As the doomed guardsman was dragged upwards by his comrades, Geiner's sorry state was ever more apparent. His uniform had been burned clean through. His flesh, raw and bloody, white bone poking out at hip and thigh. The corrosive sludge could be seen continuing its ravenous destruction, sizzling and steaming against his body. Before he had been dragged more than a few meters from the hole, Geiner's screams stopped. He looked straight up at the men striving to pull him free. With a bloodied hand, he undid the knot tied about his waist and let himself slip back into the pit. The men who had struggled to rescue him cried out as the doomed man sank from view.
We could have saved him!
I corrected Weir.
No, we couldn't. He knew that. If we pulled him out, he would have died anyway.
More to the point, some of that corrosive sludge eating him might have gone onto us. Geiner didn't want to risk that.
I stared down into the pit.
The Emperor protects.
The quiet prayer was taken up by the men around me.
The Emperor protects.
The dawn of the 7th solar cycle finally brought an end to the monotony. As we crested yet another mound of sand, a sight greeted our eyes that awoke our flagging hopes.
An outpost!
The other men hurried to the top of the dune, adding their own excitement to Weir's. It was a structure, to be certain, a massive monolithic construction of blackened ferrocrete that loomed up from the desert like a mountain rising from the sea. A sculptural aquila, dozens of meters wide, stretched across the wall facing us. Even at a distance, its disrepair was evident. Great cracks ran through its wings, and one of its heads had been sheared away.
The orcs beat us here.
No, I don't think so. This damage is much older. Those breaks look like they were caused by tremors, not Xenos artillery.
This outpost is derelict, then?
We'll have to go in and see. There'll be some sort of natural water supply for a facility that big.
Yes, sir.
Huller snapped a smart salute before joining the rest of the troops in an energetic sprint down the side of the dune. Vane waited until the other soldiers were out of earshot before he spoke.
They probably stripped this place when it was abandoned.
Just hope that the water was the last thing they thought of.
Each kilometer that brought us near the facility not only made its size more apparent, but also its ruinous condition. Sand was piled high about its exterior walls. To the damaged Aquila could be added dozens of smaller breaches in its walls and holes in its roof. A railway outside the structure's doors quickly faded into the dunes, its corrosive-resistant alloys unable to defy the crawling sand.
Abandoned.
The word took with it the last embers of hope Huller had been clinging to. Weir waved his hand at a black snake-like ribbon that crawled across the ground towards the structure.
Volcanic fissure. See the smoke rising from it. That's from the sand spilling down into it and being incinerated by magma. They must have deserted this place when the ground became too unstable.
Deserted or not, we're going to check it out. There will be supplies inside.
None of the men questioned my claim that they'd find food and water inside the derelict structure. It was the only thread of survival they had to cling to now. The alternative was accepting a slow death by thirst in the Blight. Better a fragile hope than a certain doom. A fissure in the cyclopean walls offered us entry into the outpost. Like slinking rats, we scurried through the crack, eager to put the hateful sun behind us. It was a 20-meter drop to the floor below, but it was a small matter to drive pitons into the ferrocrete and attach a rope. The troopers climbed down the wall. Vane was the first to reach the floor.
Some kind of manufactorum.
He broke the spine of a chemical illuminator and sent the glowing baton skittering across the floor.
Look at those presses and ore crushers. Some kind of mineral refinement went on here. Maybe heavy metals?
Whatever went on here, it was a long time ago. Look at the corrosion on this conveyance rail. You can distort the frame just by touching it.
Well, that could have been because of a cinder fall. A pinch of those pollutants could melt armor plus.
It doesn't matter. We need water and we need supplies. Spread out and secure this room. Then we can start looking.
The guardsmen began to fan out, moving among the machinery. They deployed in pairs as they made their reconnaissance, each man supporting the other. The flashes of their illuminators made a strange light play across the derelict presses and crushers, exposing the jagged tears and rents in their faces. I kept Corporal Huller with me near the rope. Six teams of two surveyed the room. The rest of the command waited above for the order to descend. My las pistol was held at the ready as I watched my men work their way around the room. An indefinable sense of tension held me, causing the hairs on the back of my neck to stand on end. One of the lights suddenly went out. An instant later, there was the bright flash of a las gun and an inhuman bleat of pain.
Guardsman Lance is down! Greenskin! Seed us!
My voice cracked through the room like the bark of a bolt gun.
It's an ambush! Fall back! Establish a perimeter!
Guardsman Lance's scream of pain followed my order, soon accompanied by a revolting rending and tearing sound. The illuminator from the fallen trooper rolled across the floor, casting the ghoulish shadows of his killers against the side of an ore crusher. Two small, wiry figures with stabbing knives and hacking blades perched on the guardsman's body. More of the aliens began scurrying out from behind the machinery. Diminutive, weedy creatures with big heads, long ears, and dangling arms. The grots wore oddments of clothing and kit. Some bore ugly pistols and crude shotguns in their hands. Others had bludgeons made from pipe and knives crafted from sharpened slivers of steel. They chanted as they lunged to the attack.
Establish the perimeter and let the scum have it.
Kill the Xenos, filth!
Vane turned the troops around. The sudden about-face of their fleeing enemy was a shock to the grots. A concentrated fusillade of las beams struck down half a dozen of the creatures in the first instant.
Clear them out with grenades.
I sent a shot from my las pistol, searing at the head of a fleeing grot.
We'll lose no more men to these vermin.
You heard the captain. Frag grenades! Blast the rats out of their holes!
As the grots were exterminated, their cries of pain and death rang across the hall.
The gallery has been purged.
Good. Have the rest of the command join us. We'll need every man to look for water in a place this big.
Moving through the darkened corridors of the outpost, the gigantic size of the place continued to impress itself upon us. We prowled beneath coils of conveyor rails, large enough that a company of Cadian Interior Guard could have marched across them without breaking step. Gigantic loading cranes, their fingers like the claws of a titan, towered above smelters large enough to melt the hull of a gunship. What we most desperately wanted, however, was what was proving the most elusive. Water. Instead, we continued to find destruction on a scale vast enough to leave its mark even in such mammoth surroundings. Some of it was old, visited upon the facility by the seismic activity of a fractured planet. Fissures snaked across the floor in several of the halls, some of the crevices running deep enough that the glow of magma cast a hellish light through them. In other areas, however, the destruction was far more recent and deliberate. Scorched and melted machinery, victimized by some concentrated blast of heat more intense than a flamer. Gantries ripped and torn from their moorings, crumpled into twisted knots of steel by some malefic force. Far more than the mob of grots we'd encountered could have managed. This had the marks of orc work.
The more I see of their handiwork, the less I want to run into them.
Then let's find that water supply first. A dull clattering sound ahead arrested my attention. The noise came from the side passage that connected to the far side of the plant. Cautiously, I deployed five men to either flank. Appropriating Guardsman Ivar's las rifle and taking two men with me, I made my way towards the strange sounds. A faint red glow illuminated the interior of the passageway. Revealed by the strobing light was a hulking shape, a grotesquerie of pallid, vat-grown flesh stitched to a mechanical armature. A bulky torso rose from a framework of steel, spider-like legs. Where its left arm should have been, there was only the mass of a heavy bolter. The right arm was a multi-jointed steel rod that ended in claw-like pincers. The thing's head was a mass of wires and fiber bundles.
A servitor.
The soldiers with me breathed a sigh of relief. It was premature, however. When it heard the sound of my voice, the servitor swung around in our direction. The heavy bolter shuddered as it pivoted towards us. Its mouth flopped open to spew a string of hostile-sounding binary.
Wolfram! Abortion code Omega!
The cry came from a voice that sounded almost as inhuman and mechanical as the servitor. From a small doorway set into the side of the passage, a robed figure scurried into view. At his command, the servitor powered down its weapon.
Very unwise. You shouldn't get so close to an Octavian pattern combat servitor unless it knows you.
As he spoke, the robed man stepped further into the light. I could see the cogwheel insignia of the Adeptus Mechanicus sewn into the breast of his clothes. The face that projected from beneath his hood was disfigured by an array of cybernetics. Red lights glowed where his eyes had been, while his nose and mouth were replaced by steel pipes and copper wires, pneumatic hoses, and blinking diodes. The man we had inadvertently stumbled upon was a tech priest, a disciple of the machine god's cult.
Praise the Omnissiah that you are here. Though you should have come sooner. Yes, much sooner, Captain. We sent a distress call days ago.
The man paused a second, tilting his head to one side.
No, that isn't right. We didn't call for you. We decided that would be imprudent. You shouldn't be here.
But we are here. I kept my las rifle trained on the combat servitor. The question is, where is here?
This is an Adeptus Mechanicus hermitage. Only those chosen by the Magos to help him in his great experiment are allowed here.
I am Captain Cyro Drakan of the 267th Cadian Infantry Regiment. I have 32 men with me. Our position was overrun and destroyed. We've been 7 days on foot in the Blight. We need supplies and access to a Vox transmitter.
7 days in the Blight? You are fortunate you weren't caught in a cinderfall. Still, you can't be here. This is a hermitage. Only those the Magos has sent for can stay here. You'll have to leave and take the other one with you.
What other one?
I'll show you.
The tech priest's name was Vettius. He was an engineer, one of a number of junior priests attached to one Magos Olaus to help him in his research. The Adeptus Mechanicus have chosen this abandoned mining facility on Sanzu as an ideal location for Olaus's lonely hermitage.
I will see to your immediate needs, Captain.
A prospect of food and water, even such fare as would sustain the semi-mechanical tech priests, was enough to make every man in the command groan with expectation. I try to focus on anything else, any other topic, to keep from thinking about my own hunger and thirst.
This is an immense facility.
Vettius guided us through the mammoth halls and factories of the plant. The engine seer servitor trundled behind us.
Your research must be exceedingly important to require such resources.
All knowledge is important, Captain. Every question has a solution, if only we are wise and perseverant enough to find it. Truth, Captain, is written in each riddle the Omnissiah lays before us.
Some of this machinery looks functional.
It is obscene to dishonor the spirit of any machine by neglect. It is the machine that sets man apart from lesser organisms. It is in the machine that we gaze upon eternity, for the caprices of biology are never satisfied. Only the perfection of design and function embraced by the machine is unchanging.
Yet you are conducting research here to improve upon your machines. Is that not the purpose of this hermitage?
Vettius stopped in his tracks, his hooded head nodding, the proboscis waving from side to side. A mutter of low, indistinct speech dribbled from the speaker set into his throat.
What's wrong with him?
I'm not sure. I think maybe he's been isolated here too long.
He may be communicating with the rest of the tech priests. There might be a short-range Vox unit buried in his cybernetics.
Vettius stopped nodding and fixed me with the unblinking glow of his mechanical optics.
You will follow me.
Corporal Huller is my Vox specialist. He thinks you've been in communication with your brethren. If that is the case, then I want to speak with Magos Olaus. If he will supply us with water and food, then we can discuss removing this Xenos infestation from your hermitage.
You will follow me. I will take you where you need to go.
The engine seer was deaf to any attempts to get further details out of him. With almost the same automated precision as his servitor, Vettius led us through the deserted facility, past the shadowy sprawl of disused boilers and abandoned stacks of ingot molds.
The Xenos. You have seen them?
Oh, yes. Quite distinctly.
As he spoke, Vettius' voice trailed off into another stream of semi-articulate muttering.
How many are there?
Only one. Yes, only the one. You have a significant numerical advantage over the creature.
Can you put us into communication with your Magos? It is imperative that I formulate a plan of action with him.
Vettius bowed his hooded head.
I will take you to what you need. It is not far now.
Turning away, the tech priest strode into the industrial gloom of the factory, his servitor scuttling after him.
Keep an eye on him.
Vane hefted his las rifle.
I'll keep both eyes on that cockhead.
If it comes to that, shoot to wound. Vettius is the only one who...
Earthquake! Find something solid and get under it!
Get to cover, you dogs!
Vettius, get to cover!
Leaving my men in Vane's hands, I ran towards the engine seer. He and his servitor stood poised near the great shutters that separated the hall we were in from the one beside it. As I ran towards him, what I had imagined to be a blackened splotch of corrosion on the shutters proved to be a vast and gaping hole, a ragged tear in the metal 20 meters tall and half again as wide. The floor beneath me continued to shiver with those steady tremors that were so like the impact of giant feet.
Here is the orc, Captain. Please eliminate it quickly. The hermitage is only for Magos Olaus and those assisting him in his research.
Through the tear in the shutters, a gigantic shape now lurched into view. It was barely able to press itself through the enormous hole. Towering to a height nearly five times that of a man, the thing was like a lumbering mountain of iron and steel. In overall form, it was like some mammoth metal orc, two stumpy legs jutting from the sides of a broad, bulky body.
What in the Emperor's name is that?
The head thrust directly from between the shoulders, a fanged lower jaw jutting outward from the face. A skirt of armor plates hung from the belly of the machine, slapping against the stumpy legs with each step it took. The machine's torso is a confusion of steel plates, marked with crude glyphs and a riot of vents, pipes, and hoses. As the thing moved, steam and smoke belched from a dozen exhausts scattered about its hull. In lieu of arms, the hulking alien effigy had great mechanized claws. The leftmost of these giant limbs ended in a triangular array of vicious talons. The right arm was fitted with what might once have been an industrial loading claw looted from some conquered spaceport. All across the thing's shoulders, a motley array of missile launchers and rocket tubes had been welded to the armor plate. A murderous-looking gun array had been mounted to its torso. As the orc machine cleared the breach, the weapon shuddered and began to track towards me. From vox emitters set into the monster's belly, the feral roar of its pilot thundered.
Walker! Walker! Walker!
Lunging behind a minecart, I was just able to reach cover before the orc's guns began to chew up half the floor. I felt their impact against the cart as they pursued me.
Open fire, you dogs! Take it down!
Las beams struck out from a dozen weapons as the hulking brute lumbered towards me, but they lacked the power to pierce its armor plate.
Grenades!
At the sergeant's orders, grenades came sailing out from further back in the hall. One rattled against the thing's leg, bouncing away before detonating among some ingot molds. A second detonated in midair, arrested by a weird blue energy burst that emanated from a whirring, gyro-like contraption mounted to the top of the monster's head. The machine raised one of its huge arms. A stream of withering shots exploded from a battery of linked guns fitted to the framework of the thing's claw. Six men were cut down by the merciless barrage.
Take this!
Before the monster could fire again, I lobbed a grenade at it. The grenade was caught by the strange blue pulse, detonating before it could hit the machine. The brutish head, however, swung in my direction. I'd managed to divert its attention away from my men and back to me.
Damn it! Fall back! Fall back!
I put words to action, scrambling from my temporary refuge an instant before the orc's gigantic claw came punching downwards. The shriek of ripping metal hurt my ears as the talons ripped the cart apart.
Regroup in the previous gallery!
The fire of the orc's guns chased me as I fled, raking the floor behind me. I could hear the sizzle of the high-caliber rounds as they punched through the tanks and exploded against the ferrocrete walls behind them.
Captain!
Vane's shout struggled to be heard above the orc's violence.
Keep left! We placed a mine in the middle of the floor!
At the sergeant's shout, I spotted the explosive charge lying on the ground. With the orc in pursuit, I decided upon a bolder course than the one Vane suggested. Steeling myself, I spun around and snapped off a shot from my las rifle at the metal giant. The floor became pockmarked as the orc's guns fired. The ground shuddered as the huge machine charged. Ahead was the mine. Throwing my body forward in a desperate lunge, I cleared the waiting explosive and raced to gain the shelter of a recessed maintenance annex. An instant later, I found myself thrust back into the corner of it by Vane as he lunged in after me.
Keep your head down and cover your ears! That thing's gonna hit the mine!
A burst of blinding blue light crackled around us, setting our hair on end with a powerful static charge. Our heads were still swimming with the turmoil of the explosion, our ears ringing from the ferocity of the detonation. When I emerged from the annex, I found a smoldering crater in the floor, dozens of boilers crumpled and twisted by the fury of the explosion, scaffolding sagging from the walls. On the other side of the crater, however, the orc machine still stood, its hull dented in several spots, one of the plates hanging askew from its armored skirt, but still very much operation.
The orc must have detonated the mine before it could step on it. Hopefully it was shaken by the explosion.
Let's get out of here before it recovers. The rest of the command dispersed in the next gallery. They have orders not to come looking for us if we don't join up with them.
We both turned as we felt the floor under our feet shudder. I risked a glance over my shoulder to see the gigantic orc machine rumble back into life. Its guns opened up, shooting in every direction. Rockets went sizzling away from the tubes on its shoulders to pulverize a row of boilers. An iris opened in the metal monster's left eye, and from it, a curled rod of copper, topped by a bulbous nodule of some reflective alloy, emerged. For a moment, a device crackled with flashes of electricity, then a bolt of energy went streaking away to zap a section of iron gantry into a molten, dripping mess. The Ork was firing in blind fury, uncaring what it destroyed so long as something suffered. Before the Xenos could acquire more animate targets, Vane and I were scurrying into the previous gallery. As I dashed through the service door, I saw several of my men crouched behind archways and support columns.
Withdraw! That thing's wreaking 10 kinds of havoc back there! While it's working out its frustrations, we have a chance to lose it in this complex!
At Vane's gesture, the men began to fall back through an old service corridor, much like the one we'd found Vettius hiding in. The corridor would lead into another gallery of some kind. The more twists and turns we put between ourselves and the Ork, the more time we'd have to draw up some kind of plan to destroy it. In our retreat, we canvassed four service corridors and half a dozen different factories. The men kept a hard pace right up until that final moment when I at last called a rest.
Who did we lose?
The command was bivouacked behind the thick steel shells of some ore loaders, and sentries had been deployed.
Guardsmen Leon, Tiro, Valier, and Dagus killed outright. Ivar from wounds during the retreat. Two men missing, Sulk and Muir.
Sulk was helping Muir. Muir had a piece of shrapnel in his leg.
They were lagging behind. We must have lost them somewhere along the way.
Damn that Vettius!
Vane slammed his fist against the galvanized support strut of a suspended walkway.
That coghead led us straight to the Ark!
You outnumbered it by a magnitude of 30.
All of us spun around as we heard the eerie, mechanistic voice of the tech priest. Vettius emerged from the shadow of a dilapidated rock smasher. The spidery Wolfram followed close behind its master.
My calculations allowed only a small margin for failure.
Did your calculations factor in that your Ork is strutting around in its own Morkanaut?
Vane had coined the word for the Ork machine. As he started to raise his las rifle, an angry bleat of binary rasped from Wolfram's speaker. The servitor's heavy bolter whined as the automaton rotated it in the sergeant's direction.
Wolfram! Abortion code Omega!
The whine of the heavy bolter died as the servitor submitted to the command. Vane pointed his gun at the tech priest.
Now let's talk about your peculiar notion of odds.
You won't get any answers by shooting him.
Maybe not, but it'll make me feel a lot better.
Several of the troopers muttered in agreement with the sergeant.
Let's find Magos Olas first. If we're going to have any chance in the desert, we'll need the water and food the Hermitage can provide.
My words provoked another fit of muttering from Vettius. Huller came forward, listening intently to the subdued speech.
He's talking to someone. He must have a short-range transmitter.
Weir brought up an important observation.
Captain, we left the engines here back in that factory where we found the Morkanaut. Now, I can understand how he might have slipped away in the confusion, but how did he find us again?
Vettius raised his head, his muttering falling away as he returned his attention to us.
I followed you on the oculators.
He pointed his pallid hand at a raven-winged cherub adorning a nearby pillar.
Key quadrants of this facility are monitored to ensure the privacy of the Hermitage. My mind is synchronized with each oculator's machine spirit. What they can see, I can see.
That's how you found us? That's how you knew where the Ork was?
Affirmative. Except for a few places where the Violator has destroyed the oculators, I am cognizant of this entire wing of the facility. Magos Olaus entrusted me with maintaining the solitude of this Hermitage.
Then you know where the Ork is now.
The engine seer bowed his head.
It is headed in this direction.
A cold chill swept through us as the impact of Vettius' word struck home.
You led the Morkanaut right to us. You wanted to force us into another fight with it.
That conclusion is in error. Your organics are not at optimum efficiency. That has thrown my calculations into confusion. I hastened here to warn you that the Ork is on its way so that you could avoid it, not fight it.
In time with the tech priest's delayed warning, the dreaded tremors began to shake the floor once more, those pounding impacts that presaged the lumbering advance of the Morkanaut. The ferrocrete wall shuddered as something slammed against it from the other side.
It's trying to cut its way through the wall!
Try hell. That thing will be through in no time.
Vettia swung around.
If you can get the orc to chase you, there is a tailing pond in the processing plant 2 galleries to the south.
Tailing pond? How deep is it?
Deep enough to sink it. The pit hasn't been used since the factory was abandoned, so the surface is solid enough to support a man's weight. But it won't hold up against something as heavy as the Xenos construct.
Come on!
Quickly, we retreated down the hall and waited for the Morkanor to batter its way through the obstruction. Our wait was not a long one. With a tremendous groan, the abused wall collapsed inwards and the machine lumbered into view.
Open fire!
At Sergeant Fane's command, the troops fired on the orc. The las beams crackled against a nimbus of green light that flickered around the hulking giant.
It has an energy field!
The idea wasn't to hurt it, just to get its attention.
The futile attack had certainly roused the orc. As we withdrew from the hall, the Morkanor came charging after us, its guns chattering, rockets streaking from the tubes bolted to its shoulders. Guardsmen Xander and Kor were ripped to shreds when they were caught in the blast from one of the monster's missiles. Guardsman Anoth, wounded by a shell from the cannon in the thing's chest, was crushed beneath the giant's ponderous tread. While we scrambled over the fallen beams and scattered debris littering the abandoned halls, the hulking giant smashed and pulled its way through the obstructions. Its vox emitter roaring each time it pulverized some toppled pillar or rusted scaffold.
Through here!
I think I can see the pond ahead.
At last, we reached the hall that held Vettius' tailing pond. Despite the Engineer's assurances, it was with a feeling of horror that I led the way across the semi-solid scum of pulverized waste that covered the pit. We had scarcely reached the far side when the Morkanor came roaring after us. 2 more of my men were shredded by the monster's weapons before we had fled beyond the reach of its guns. The Zapper emerged from the depths of the giant's eye, sending out a lance of crackling energy that reduced Guardsman Thomas to a sooty smear against the surface of the pond. Bellowing, the Morkanor charged after us, descending into the pit by the rampway once employed by slurry haulers and waste wagons. The instant it stepped out into the tailing pond, the metal monster sank, its great weight fracturing the veneer of stony scum and dragging it towards the bottom. Legs and armored skirt vanished. Soon its chest was lost to view. The lower jaw vanished beneath the black filth. Then, the Morkanaut's descent slowed.
It stopped sinking. You said the pond was deep enough to sink it.
The Morkanaut's weight must have impacted the debris under it, pressed it into a state of solidity robust enough to support it.
The thing is still trapped, Captain. It isn't getting out of there.
The pilot might. There's a hatch on top of that thing's head. Take aim in case the orc inside tries to leg it.
But the pilot had no intention of abandoning its iron devil. The Morkanaut's arms cleared the sludge. The limb that sported the loading claw thrust itself forwards. The next instant, the claw shot outwards, stabbing into the floor beyond the pit. A heavy chain connected the wrist of the claw to the machine's arm. Groaning, a powerful winch set into the arm began to turn, gradually reeling in the chain. As the chain went taut, the Morkanor was dragged across the tailing pond.
If it gets to the ramp on the other side, it'll pull itself out!
Bane grabbed Vettius by his robe.
Your trap's no good, cockhead!
Take us to Magos Olas! Now, while the orc is busy pulling itself out of the pit!
Our research is too important.
Your research is going to be blasted to bits by that orc. Have you thought about that?
The sergeant's remark set the engine seer shaking and muttering. At last, Vettius focused his optics on me.
I will lead you to the Magos. This research is too important to be lost.
It It was clear why Vettius had been so reluctant to lead anyone back to the Mechanicus compound. The Orc had already been there. The Morkanaut's weaponry had made a mockery of the compound's defenses. The pulp remains of the other tech priests were strewn about the wreckage. Oh. As the engine seer led us through, his agitation only increased. When we entered a bunker-like laboratory at the core of the compound, he appeared on the verge of a complete breakdown. With a despairing moan, he prostrated himself before a bundle of bloody meat and smashed augmetics that lay across a bank of cogitator relays.
I'm guessing that's Magos Olaus.
If that's the Magos, then who's he been talking to?
Huller shuddered. Vettius had started muttering again.
Nobody will do us any good.
Bane turned his back on the dead Magos and began to make a closer inspection of the room.
They must have had something important here. Everything in this room seems to be focused on this dais.
Leave that alone.
The engine seer rushed towards the sergeant.
Wolfram, engagement protocol Epsilon.
The servitor clattered forward, a surge of enraged binary crackling from its speaker. The automaton started to train its heavy bolter on Bane. The sergeant smiled as he spoke to the servitor.
Abortion code Omega.
He swung around and thrust his hand across the empty dais.
Don't get your diodes in an uproar, cockhead. I don't have to leave anything alone. It's already gone.
Captain, you don't think that orc came here deliberately? It's just hiding out from the desert, same as us.
Look at the way everything is smashed up in the rest of the compound. I was unsettled by where the evidence was leading. Yet we get in here, and the only thing that's been damaged is the Magos. The Orc would have had to climb out of its machine to be that precise. No, it's clear it wanted something in here. What were you studying, Vettius? What was so important that the Mechanicus sent you to a place as remote as this?
Archaeotech. Fragments recovered from a skeletal armature in millennia 37 on the planetoid Sigma Alpha. For 800 Terran cycles, it has been preserved by the reliquary of Isauricus.
Vettius bowed his head again, his pale hands folding together in a gesture of benediction.
Magos Olaus, it is a supreme honor to be allowed to contemplate such a miraculous blending of design and function.
Contemplate that it isn't here, coghead, and your Magos is dead.
Blasphemy. Cessation of functionality before completion of study is unacceptable. Peak performance efficiency must be maintained. Isolation without distraction from the purity of our research.
The engine seer's optics burned with a brighter light as he gazed at us.
No trespasses in the hermitage.
The engine seer's appreciation of reality was fast degenerating into confusion with the past.
How many years do you think he's been here focused on nothing but this thing they've been studying?
Too many to stay sane. Patronizingly, I waved my hand at Vettius.
We aren't trespassers. We are here to remove the Orc invader so you can resume your research without interruption. We are to be issued water and food, then you are to assist us in developing a method of exterminating the Orc.
Vettius fixed his wandering gaze on me, trying to analyze my words. His inability to relegate events to their proper sequence spoke of some injury to his faculties. It was an injury I hoped might now prove useful to us. If the engine seer took my words to mean that we'd already been permitted into the hermitage by Magos Olaus...
Elimination of the Orc requires additional resources. That is why Magos Olaus allowed you here.
Even the last was rendered as a statement, accepted by the logic engine inside the tech priest's head as the only excuse for our admittance to the hermitage.
Captain, we don't have the weapons to stop that thing.
Then we'll have to find the weapons. The tech priests have maintained a lot of the machinery in this place. Maybe we can use that against the Orc.
Where would we even start?
Why don't we ask the Coghead? He's the one tapped into every oculator in this place. I'm sure he can think of something if we ask him nicely.
First, he gets us water and whatever gruel passes for food around here. Then we start asking about weapons.
The control cabin of an immense magnetic grapnel overlooked one of the sprawling halls that characterized the gargantuan facility. Vettius, familiar with the machine's controls and the exacting maintenance that had been performed to keep the Grapnel's machine spirit appeased, had taken up position in the shack-like cabin. His servitor perched on the gantry that attached the cabin to a spider web of scaffolds that crossed and recrossed the space high above the floor of the gallery. Down below, I led half my men in a cautious circuit of the industrial center, moving among huge blocks of refined tungsten and titanium.
Relax. Vettius will alert us if he sees the orc heading towards us.
I said that with more confidence than I felt. Accessing the oculators, the engine seer had a perfect view of this section of the Hermitage. The question was simply whether he could be depended upon to share that information. A guardsman named Raff was up in the control box to keep a close watch on our erratic ally. Vettius's voice crackled over the regimental vox.
Captain Drakan, the Xenos has appeared 3 galleries to the north. I do not think it is aware of our presence here.
It will be soon. I had confidence in the plan, but I knew the risks we were encouraging.
Sergeant Vane, take your men and extend an invitation to the Orc.
We'll bring the Morkanor back here if we have to drag it.
I could see the sergeant and the others emerge from a loading bay they'd been resting in. They'd armed themselves with weaponry drawn from the Hermitage's stores. Missile launchers, las cannons, even a heavy bolter. The weapons were of an unusually compact design, with limited ammunition capacity. Vettius had explained they were intended for combat servitors like Wolfram. Rate of fire and accuracy weren't important. All I needed the weapons to do was make a lot of noise. 10 minutes passed as Vane's patrol vanished through the service door into the adjacent gallery. Then, across the vox came Vane's excited shout.
Hostile located!
The Morkanaut's bellowing and the vicious response of its own guns rolled back to us from the other hall like the clamor of a distant storm.
Get ready. Pray to the God Emperor that the thing follows them all the way.
The bestial bellow of the alien rumbled from the voximeters mounted in its hull. I could see the tiny figures of my men as they fled through the service door. Thundering after them, the Morkanaut lumbered into view. It paused for a moment as it used its immense claws to rip wide the steel doors that separated the two galleries. Then, through the twisted portals, the metal giant stomped its way down the hall.
Now!
At my command, Vettius dropped the grapnel towards the Morkanaut. With expert precision, he arrested its descent before it struck the behemoth's protective energy field. The engines here evoked the grapnel's own field. An invisible talon of magnetic energy that reached through the orc's force field to grip the iron hull of its machine. Like a fish spitted on the end of a spear, the Morkanaut flailed and thrashed as the grapnel dragged it across the factory floor. Vettius manipulated the gigantic machine towards one of the loading bays where we had set half of our remaining crack mines. As the Morkanaut was dragged towards the waiting mines, the defensive mechanisms built into it dispatched another of the eerie blue pulsations. In a tremendous explosion, the 3 mines detonated before the orc could be dropped onto them. It was precisely what I'd planned. The loading bay the orc was being dragged into had suffered terribly from earth tremors. Parts of the floor had already cracked and split, exposing a volcanic fissure that snaked its way beneath the facility. The mines had been laid face down, set so that their detonation would drive most of their destructive force into the floor itself. The intention was to expand the cracks created by the quakes. We were going to try to bury the Morkanaut again, this time in a pit far deeper than the tailing pond. The explosions shook the gallery, fracturing the floor and brutalizing the superstructure. The roof of the bay came crashing downwards, slamming into the orc machine, pinning it beneath tons of steel girders and titanium roof plates, and driving it against the wall of the bay.
It didn't fall in!
Mine split the floor, but not enough!
The rocket tubes bolted to the Morkanaut's shoulder had been flattened by its impact against the wall, and smoke was billowing from the smashed muzzle of the cannon mounted in its chest, but the thing's left eye was unharmed. The iris creaked open, and the copper stalk of its energy projector emerged. Vettius and Guardsman Raff were running towards the door of the control cabin as the Morkanaut fired. The blast obliterated them both. reducing the men, the control box, and the wall behind them into a bubbly smear of blackened slag.
Morka! 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 Morka!
The Morkanaut was employing its claws to bend and rip the girders that imprisoned it.
Hit the floor while it's trapped!
Vane rushed towards the trapped Morkanaut. The sergeant's heavy bolter gouged craters in the tough ferrocrete. The missiles fired by two of the men with him had far more effect, ripping great holes in the floor and expanding the cracks and splits caused by the mines. As the machine freed itself, it lumbered after Vane and his men. Its immense bulk caused the weakened floor to crack still further, sending slabs of ferrocrete crumbling away into the fissure. The molten heat of the magma below sent vapors steaming up into the loading bay. Any moment it seemed like the floor must give out and pitch the machine down into the planet's volcanic fires. Yet with a perverse stubbornness, the ground remained firm beneath the Morkanaut as the brute advanced.
Stoyer, give me your mine!
Taking one of our last mines from the trooper, I turned towards the Morkanaut.
Weir, take the other mine and follow me. Troopers, keep the Orc's attention off us!
I charged at the hulking monster. Lasgun beams stabbed out at the Morkanaut, provoking little flashes of the green barrier field that protected it. Another fusillade erupted from the side of the bay, and I could hear Vane barking commands to the handful of survivors from his patrol.
Keep firing!
We're not fooling it! The Morkanaut's turning our way! We're not going to get close enough!
We have to! It's our only chance!
For Weir, it was no chance at all. Ignoring the puny fire from the lasguns, the Morkanaut focused on the men charging at it. The horrible zapper eye ignited once more, sending a bolt of destruction sizzling down at Weir. There was no explosion, only a horrible rending sound as the trooper and the precious mine he carried disintegrated in the violence of the beam. Then, the Morkanaut's head was turning and its grisly eye stared down at me.
Get it away from the captain!
A bleat of binary assailed my ears for a moment before the chatter of a heavy bolter sounded from behind me. Thrown by the explosion that had destroyed Vettius, one of its spidery legs, crumpled by its fall from the gantry, the servitor Wolfram, by some quirk of programming, had reacted to Vane's shouted command. The servitor was pouring fire into the Morkanaut, the heavy shells crackling against the machine's field. With a bellow, it turned towards the servitor. Before the Morkanaut could loose another annihilating bolt, I flung my mine at it, sending the heavy explosive skittering along the floor. The deafening detonation of the mine told me when it encountered that blue energy pulse. Shards of ferrocrete lashed my body as I was hurled across the bay. As soon as my violent roll was finished, I spun around to see if my desperate ploy had worked. A crater had opened in the floor where the last mine had exploded, and as the Morkanaut lumbered towards it, the hole widened. The iron devil's foot slipped into the fissure. Overbalanced, the huge machine toppled downwards. The machine's protective field crackled into life as the magma coursing beneath the facility boiled around its legs. Persistent and remorseless, the molten rock began to overwhelm the field. The Morkanaut launched its loading claw, trying to pull itself from the pit. It shot up towards the ceiling, but the chain fitted to it was too short to reach. Thwarted, it slammed against the floor. Before the Morkanaut could drag it back and try again, the metal monster slipped still further into the magma. The glow of the energy field sputtered one final time, then faded away completely. Before the head could slip down into the crater, the hatch mounted into the top of the Morkanaut's iron head burst outwards. A bulky brute with leathery green skin and yellowed tusks pushed itself up through the hatch. Its right hand hefted into view, an enormous pistol clenched in its stumpy green fingers. Before the Orc could shoot, a bleat of binary and the snarl of a heavy bolter put an end to its malignance. The monstrous alien body shivered and jerked as the round slammed into it, spraying blood across the face of its machine. The dying Orc slumped back into the Morkanaut's cockpit. I had a last view of the creature as its machine sank into the magma. As I turned away from the crater, I found Sergeant Vane and the dozen other men who had survived the battle slowly advancing towards me. They were dirty, disheveled, and weary to the bone. Yet in their eyes burned an energy that defied all of that. The thrill of victory, the sweetest vintage any soldier can sample. Vane nodded at the hole that had taken the Morkonaut.
So that's how the plan was supposed to work.
Just don't tell that to the Colonel. He might not appreciate that we deliberately damaged an Adeptus Mechanicus facility, destroying that thing.
I looked past Vane at the rest of the men.
Comport yourselves like Cadians. Our objective remains the same. We head back to the Hermitage and take in all the water and supplies we can carry. Hulla, have a look at Wolfram. Determine if the Servitor can travel. If he can, load it up with whatever you don't think we can carry ourselves. Now move out. Double time.